Orlando Jones in studio. He's at New York Comedy Club in Stamford tomorrow and then through the whole weekend.
Yeah.
And we're linked up to tickets. We just had Joe Calzone in studio. He's made the most famous road crates for all the bands.
Great guy, too.
And as I hear Orlando talking to Joe, I'm like, wow, these guys know a lot of the same people.
Yeah.
Like, you've worked with a lot of different musicians.
No, definitely. You know.
Is that from Mad TV?
You know, different stages of my career. I was a writer-producer for, you know, I don't know, 15 years or so. So when I was doing Mad TV, it was everybody who came on to the show, you know, Queen Latifah, Ice-T, and the whole thing.
Right.
And then when we launched FX, I hosted a music show called Sound Effects. So it was, you know, live to air.
That's a cool name for a show.
Yeah, super fun. Consumer guide to music. So we did all kinds, you know, rock, hip hop, classical, the whole nine. So, you know, and I've always been a music fan, as it were, musician myself, and that kind of stupidity. And then,
which hip hop artist did you have come in?
Let's see. One of my favorites was Craig Mack. He had won a Grammy at the time.
Okay.
And of course, you know, at that time, if you won a Grammy, that was the kiss of death as a rapper.
Oh, no. That's why you always seem so mad.
Right? Oh, you didn't want that.
Yes. Doesn't look happy.
Right. Fine. You're part of the machine now. Right.
Exactly. And then he was gifted. So, but he just won a Grammy. So the dude was heartbroken. We're trying to get him.
They won a Grammy, not win a Grammy.
He had a song called Flavor in Your Ear, and it was like huge at the time, but he didn't want to perform it because he was like, I don't want to talk about this Grammy song anymore. Let's move
on.
He was, you know,
smart business guy, though, because he knew.
He knew. No, he completely knew.
Yeah, his fans don't want people who win Grammys.
Dude.
They want someone who they can relate to.
Exactly.
Right.
And you saw the music shift, right? Because it got to the point where no one had ever heard a 50 Cent record. That all people knew originally was he'd been shot nine times. And
right.
Like, this album's going to be great.
That was our introduction.
That's true.
Look at that.
How many times has he been shot? It's like stars.
He's got bullet holes and everything.
Right. I mean, he had the bulletproof vests on stage because I used to think, you already been shot nine times. Why are you wearing a
bulletproof vest? Yeah, now?
Because the rest were just of your attention.
Right. You probably should have had that vest earlier, my friend.
Right.
So,
you can afford it now.
So it was, you know, that was always crazy. And of course, LL was always a thing.
Yeah.
Because LL's, he's got a little Krusty the Clown thing going on with the hair. So he's, you know, very serious in the makeup chair by making sure you know, shave. But he's got a hat on until that happens.
Okay.
So as soon as the hat comes off, of course, everybody in the trailer goes, oh!
That's who it is.
Yeah, so that's, So, you know, and I'm like,
that's why you shave it.
Exactly. Right. I'm like, he's shaving it, baby? Go ahead, baby.
Right.
So it was always, you know, constant musician, actor, show here, award show there, performance here. I'm hosting a show. I think I literally hosted NSYNC. When they were, you know, Timberlake.
Really?
I brought them out and the whole nine. They were fans, so they wanted me to bring them on stage. Justin Timberlake was like a kid.
And could you tell then that Justin Timberlake was the smart one?
No, not at all. Not at all. Couldn't tell at all.
See? That's honesty.
Did he seem like the dumb one?
No. He was focused on them sweater stretches like most of them kids were at that time.
Right.
He was very groupie focused on who the hot girl was that was around.
Thus to Britney, yes, right.
And J.C. Chavez, who's an excellent writer, was, you know, the kid. They're always pushing the wrong guy. That kind of happened. So they were kind of playing that game at the time, but you know, I think it was always known that Justin
was he going out with Britney then?
No, they were in split mode. I had a whole nother. Britney was friends, very good friends from Buddy Dallas Austin.
Do you follow her Instagram?
Yeah,
it's sad.
It's crazy,
but it's like a train wreck.
It's
I can't stop watching
ride.
It.
It is.
I mean, you can take the girl as a trailer park, but what do you want? I mean, she's being herself. That's authentically who she is.
Yes. That's right.
I'm going to tell you the weirdest story ever.
That's a good point.
I am related to Britney Spears.
Nice. That's weird.
Yeah. Weirdest story ever. Britney Spears and my mother's sister.
Now I'm glad I hugged you.
Yeah, this is great.
This is as close as I've gotten to hugging Britney Spears.
That's why I held on for
you. I'll try to arrange that for you.
Wait until the hug when you leave.
That's why I rubbed your back.
That's going to be very...
You're on my back like that?
It's going to be prison-like.
I was like, why is he playing me so close?
I was getting the DNA off.
But yeah, it was an interesting thing. Her grandfather... had a kid, and that kid was with my mom's sister. And
I got to make a chart here.
Yeah, you got to make a chart for that one.
Like a tree.
Yeah,
her mom had a kid.
So My mother's
sister. Your mother.
My mother's sister.
All right, so you're
met a guy named George Spears in college.
Okay, George Spears.
And George Spears was his father was Britney Spears' grandfather.
Okay.
So that's the simple math there. Huh.
So this is grandfather.
Uh-huh. So yeah. So
and your grandfather.
Carry the one.
You're, yeah.
Carry the Orlando one. Jones
divide by
over
three.
Mm-hmm. Here.
That's okay. Right. That's
oh,
right.
Wow, you're related.
Hot news.
Totally.
The...
Okay. Yeah. You saw the hypotenuse, right?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, that was an interesting thing. So we were hanging out, and I mentioned it to her. And she gave me
and
one of those.
And she's like, what year is this?
This must have been 2002.
Okay. Still smoking hot.
We're at Rifkin's house. She's running around with, I think, Sam, the assistant or something. The paparazzi are all outside.
Oh, man.
And Akon is trying to convince her. So I was just watching the Britney Spears Akon conversation. And
that's fun.
The funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow. Well, was he, so how African do you hit dude. On Britney Spears?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and Akon, you know, he's like, I'm locked
of...
up, don't let me out, locked up. He was like, you know, let's do a locked up type song.
And right, right.
She was looking at him like, nah, I think I'm good on that, homie. she was not buying it at all.
Nope, he tried,
and then he
though.
Ended up managing Gaga and
okay.
launching her. But he was trying to help Britney, so he actually knew what he was talking about.
She must look at Lady Gaga and say, I had the opportunity
really?
Yeah, to right. make yeah, yeah. the business
so
deal
stupid,
that would have prevented
stupid,
that business
stupid.
Deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so he was a smart guy, Con. Very, very smart guy. So I'm far more music business savvy, I think, than people gave him credit for at the time. So,
yeah,
so through that and through Dallas, Drumline, the movie I did, is based on Dallas Austin's life. So because of that, you find yourself sitting in all the crazy music stuff going on all the time. You know, Dallas and Christina Aguilera broke into my house. That was one of the weirdest experiences of my life.
What was she looking for?
She was looking for Dallas Austin.
Okay.
I got a call from the security company, and they were like, hey, somebody just broke into your house. To which I said, why the hell are you calling me? Shouldn't you be calling the police?
Right. Yeah, please tell me the police are already on the way.
And the guy said, no, it's Britney Spears. And I said, I don't really care to know the name of the SOB in my house. I just
Wait, was it Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera?
I'm sorry. It was Christina Aguilera. Sorry.
Right, right.
I said, I don't need to know the name of the person in my house.
Was she a thing then?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so she's a big thing. She breaks into your house?
She climbs over the
fence. See, my question would have been, can you trap her in my house?
Christina?
It finally works. She came to me. Yes. Lock her down.
Okay, listen.
If the security company calls me and says, Christina Aguilera is in your house, okay, well, can y'all lock the house up?
I'm going to tell you with great certainty you did not want that. You think you wanted that, but you did not want that. All I can tell you is...
Why wouldn't I want that?
So don't put glue on the floor like a Roach Motel?
She found herself in a situation where she was trying to be with Dallas Austin.
Okay.
But she wound up with his assistant.
Okay. Can I work her way up?
That's the guy she married, Jordan Bratman.
Oops.
When I met him, he was Dallas Austin's assistant.
Oh, okay.
And the only reason that happened is because Dallas wouldn't take the call anymore. And so he started taking the call. And then suddenly they told me he was a music producer. And he was marrying Britney Spears. And I was like, produce what?
Christina Aguilera or Britney?
Her husband, her first husband, Jordan, was Dallas Austin's assistant. We were doing Drumline. She was supposed to sing the national anthem in Drumline as a cameo. And Dallas was working with her and on her next album. He couldn't get her in the studio because all she wanted to do was party. He didn't want to party. He was like, yo, let's get this record done. I got a movie going on. I got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, this is business.
Kind of busy.
Business. Yeah, right. She was like, not having it. So he was like, look, I'm not taking the call anymore. I'm just going to move on. So the assistant kept talking to her. And next thing you know, her and the assistant were dating. And next thing you know, he was a music producer.
Right.
And they were getting married.
Air quotes on music producer.
Right,
right, right. Right.
And we were trying to figure out what was happening. We were like, he was taking your kids to school 3 weeks ago. Now he's a music producer? What's happening here?
Trust me. She was in high notes.
So, yeah, man. Broke into my house, had the whole nine, and they wouldn't call the cops on her, and that was the end of that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The alarm company.
Alarm company. We're not
calling the cops on her.
No, they were like, she didn't take nothing. She was just going to room looking for people. I was like, looking for where? They said in the closets, in the bathroom. I was like, whoo.
You had a pretty advanced security system then.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were
sure.
able to see on the camera.
Oh, no,
It wasn't just sensors.
No, all cameras. So you can
Damn.
See. Yeah, all cameras at the time. You know, Hollywood's a crazy place, my man.
Man, you must have some wild sex tapes then.
I don't know what you're talking about. But how dare you? In the name of Jesus.
Never do that.
No, never. Those cameras were off the entire time, yes.
Yeah. There was no taping Epstein behavior going on.
No, none whatsoever.
Not Epstein behavior.
None. All adults.
But you had, this is a weird segue, but Bill Cosby, you had a thing with him.
I'm doing Mad TV. I do a sketch called Cosby's Crib. Everybody was complaining that Cosby had this hit show, but it wasn't black enough. They weren't real black people because it was a doctor and a lawyer.
Right, right.
So I said, okay, well, why don't we do a sketch where I'm, you know, make him a drug dealer?
Isn't that a horrible thing to say?
It's crazy.
It's like, oh, two successful black people.
Right.
Doesn't seem black.
That's not black. Right, that's not real. Right. So that's such a ludicrous idea, right?
Yeah.
For any group, right? You know what I mean? It's a ludicrous idea. I felt like the Italians felt that way doing Jersey Shore, going, really? That's supposed to be us?
Right. That's representation.
Yeah. Knock it off.
Yeah, so, you know, it was one of those situations. So I thought, let's do a ridiculous sketch. I'm going to make Cosby be a drug dealer.
Nice.
And, you know,
Is this online anywhere?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Cosby's Crib.
Do you think we could air it?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, it was on regular TV, right? Mad TV.
Yeah, it was on Mad, so you should be good.
Yeah, no swears.
Yeah, so we did that bit, and the whole joke was that the media, finally goes, oh, finally he's done something worthy and blah, blah, blah. But Cosby didn't get that part. So get a call down to Mad TV. They say, you need to go down to Norman Brokaw's office and talk to Mr. Cosby.
Whoops.
So I said, what do I need to talk to Mr. Cosby for? They said, he'll let you know when you get
kinda
there.
You kind of know, though, right? Because you did this bit. Right?
I mean, I'm kind of thinking of it. Yeah,
and he's legendary for calling out comedians.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So you're like, all right.
So you asked just to hear how bad it's going to be, but you know what it's about.
Like the principal's office.
Yeah. So I go down to the office. I get there. I sit, and they make me wait for 15, 20 minutes. They say, Mr. Cosby, we'll see you. They take me to the open the door, and I think I'm going to see the guy. And it's just a conference room with a little, you know, speakerphone sitting in the middle of the table.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, this is embarrassing.
Right. I prefer that, though, over having him right in the room with me.
Right.
I was a writer on A Different World, so I'd met him before.
Right.
So I thought I was going to get the courtesy of him having a face-to-face with me, right? Not at all. So
he's like Charlie on Charlie's Angels.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, like in the speaker.
That's exactly the speaker part, right? I walk in and he goes, is he here yet? And they say, yes, he's here, Bill. He goes, I would like to know if you are making fun of me or the media. So I look at my agent and the other guy.
Yeah, like, which one should I say?
Right. And my brain is saying,
the media. Like,
obviously,
of course.
The media. What kind of man question is this?
Right.
The media. Okay.
Now, did you say it in Bill Cosby's voice?
Completely. What do you mean?
I said
the media. And he paused, like, and I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. I probably should have done his voice.
Right.
And then he says, okay. And then there's another pause. You can go now.
That was it?
And that was it.
They walked me
out of the room. That's how I was dismissed.
Wow.
By the great Bill Cosby. So
Holy damn.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. It was not a pleasant experience. And then they told me not to.
That was his way of letting you know. I'm
watching you. And then the next thing I did was a sketch called Schindler's Lost. I was making fun of Schindler's List.
Oh, wow.
It's my parents in a car because my dad will not stop for directions.
Right. So
my joke was, you know,
he
don't save nobody, right? Schindler's List.
That's brilliant.
The story of a man with a sense of justice, but no sense of direction.
Right.
So he doesn't make it to save anybody. So the story, as I was told, is that Quincy Jones is in a helicopter with Steven Spielberg and they're flying to the Hamptons. And Steven Spielberg gets a phone call from the Anti-Defamation League saying there's this sketch that's making fun of his movie Schindler's List and that they need to kill it and Fox needs to be told not to air it, right? So apparently they land the helicopter and Quincy asks Steven, hey, what was that phone call about? He says, oh, some show called Mad TV that did a parody of Schindler's List. He says, hey, that's my show. What do you mean? That's my show. So Steven says, what? He goes, Mad TV, that's my show. What are you talking about? He says, well, they did this sketch. And he says, who did this sketch? He says, I don't know, somebody over there. So another phone call comes
That's
over.
How you're introduced to the big boss.
That's how I'm introduced, right?
Isn't always how it happens, you do something wrong?
So I come in. Quincy's the coolest guy ever, and he talks super,
Had you met him
slow.
Before?
I'd met him in the audition.
Okay.
He cast me.
So, oh, wow.
Okay,
he
put me on
wild.
The show.
Right, so you did this.
So I get.
Dude, you have. Like,
the next thing I hear from him is I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And he talks mad slow. So he's like, hey, Jones, man, I understand you did a sketch or something, man.
And I understand you was making fun of Steven's movie, man. What's happening with you, brother? And I was like, it's my parents in a car, dude. Like, I thought this was Mad Magazine. We're supposed to, no sacred cows.
Yeah.
Family, we go
comedy
with
show. Yeah, it's all satire, yeah.
He goes, let me just say this to you, brother, and I hope you understand, man. You know, you like a band, baby. All y'all play different instruments. You know, that's the drum, that's the guitar, baby. You know, that's the melody over there, you know? And when you're a band, you're supposed to play together, baby, because when the glass is half full or half empty, well, that just depends on if you're drinking or pouring. You understand?
No.
I said, yes, sir. Absolutely.
Right. Whatever you say.
I'm drinking and pouring.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yeah,
all right. No Steven Spielberg bits.
No Steven Spielberg bits.
Okay. Right. Just say it.
I'm not drinking or pouring, sir. I'm parched, but I'm
saluting.
Right.
So that was it. I was like, I don't know what the hell Chris is talking about. Let me agree and shut my black ass up.
What the hell did you just say?
I want to play a game.
Okay.
Ooh. Orlando Jones is in studio. He has met and has worked with and has stories on almost everybody that you've ever heard of.
It's amazing.
I thought this would be the game. We mention a name and see if he has some kind of a connection.
Ah, gotcha.
Even if it's like a
fair enough.
Six
okay.
degree of Kevin
right,
Bacon
right,
or
right,
whatever.
All right, fair enough. Go.
Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, that's easy. LK's been a friend forever. We call him Elvis. That's
really?
Yeah, that's what we call him.
Wow.
Yeah, we call him Elvis.
Does he know this?
It's like a Secret Service name.
Yeah,
Elvis.
Yeah, yeah.
Elvis.
Yeah, like, hey.
Why is that?
First of all, he's you know,
talented.
Rock fan, super talented.
Yeah.
He thought of it in that terms. Like, rock and roll is sacred to Lenny, right? You know, you got to play it. It's got to be the thing. It's got to be real. It's got to have the feeling to it.
The otherwise. Chicks just fall all over him.
Oh, dude, please.
Oh, my God.
Please.
You go to a club with him. What's that like?
It's insanity. Is all that's complete.
So, just,
so
I don't know what to do. All the
it's
all
always
women.
Him and Denzel, and they always like to
Denzel.
Yeah, it's always him and Denzel. That was always the buddies. Him and Denzel always together. Back in the day, that was always the case.
You just see women explode.
So
wait, Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Overload.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you say it like Denzel.
I only know
one
Denzel.
I only know one Denzel.
Yeah, you know, I only know
no,
one.
I know, but it's
like saying Madonna. I gotta get your last name.
You mean the mother of our Lord?
The dude from Harry Potter? Denzel Jackson?
Like, wow, he's throwing these names around like, you know, we all know these names.
Right.
Oh, my God, Denzel Washington?
It was weird for me, too. You should have seen my mama. She came over and Denzel was sitting in the living room. My mama, she walked back out the door.
Right. Like, I did not just see this. Right. I'm going to try this again.
She came in, she walked back out the door. She called me, told me to come outside. I came outside. My mama said, is that Denzel Washington sitting on your sofa? And I said, yes, it is. She said, tell him to come outside and talk to me. And I was like, I'm not telling Denzel. She said, yes, you will. And I did. And he went out and talked to my mom.
Right, what's your mom? You got to do it.
Listen, my mom's my
you gotta
mom.
You got to do it. It's mom.
Lenny's the coolest, man. So the craziest Lenny story
so
I can
tell you.
So
it'd be like you, Lenny, and Denzel Washington
me,
in a bar
Lenny,
together?
Me, Denzel, Dallas. We didn't really go out. We hang at each other's house.
Okay, because right. It would be too much if you went
out,
right?
Yeah, we're in the
house. You're not going to have time together if you go out. You're going
to
be talking.
And we like to have fun together. Like, Lenny's hysterical.
Oh, really?
And cool. He likes to do characters.
Nice.
So he's legitimately
really?
Funny. Yeah.
I haven't seen, like, does he do
he
that
so
on, like,
serious.
Did he do that on Matt TV?
He's
or?
Always super cool in public.
Yeah,
but
he wants to be the Elvis.
It's
he
just his
you.
Thing,
okay.
Yeah. But
okay.
When you're hanging out, hysterical.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Super funny. And chat, you know, Denzel's more quiet. Like, you know, he's talking trash and stuff. But Lenny's, wow, man, he's hilarious. I mean, you got to remember, his mom, Roxy Roker.
Yeah.
Was on the Jeffersons.
Helen Willis.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's he grew right. up next to a sitcom, right?
Yep.
You know, Sherman Helmsley
okay.
and the whole thing.
All those, yeah. Right. That
yeah.
makes sense, yeah.
So that's his energy is very much more like that than you would expect, right? So, and normally Zoe was around, you know, so he's got his daughter there and, you know, we got kids around. So we're not getting too crazy. We're just guys having a good time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we're guys that made it, right? We, you know, we none of us came from much of anything, but, you know, life worked out for us, right? So we were just hanging out and friends. So we were hanging out at my house one night. We were at a dinner earlier, friend's restaurant, and a bunch of people came back over to my place. And I look over on my sofa, and I see Nicole Kidman, single at the time. She's talking.
This is before Tom Cruise? Or after Tom Cruise?
After Tom Cruise.
Okay. After Tom Cruise.
After Tom Cruise.
Before. So she's one of the most famous women on the planet.
Right, but at the time...
She's single.
She's single.
Right.
Tall.
Tall.
Pasty white.
Super white.
Yes. And on your couch.
Alabaster right. and on right. my sofa.
Wow.
So definitely. I wanted nothing to do with this.
They were using it for a light, actually.
Right, exactly. She was a bounce car.
Can you walk in that room?
I gotta read something.
I'm looking for a can of cherries, and the light's not working.
Right.
Hey, GE, get over here.
And Megan Good was there. So to be honest, given a choice, it was, you know, Megan Good was the hands-down winner in my book.
Yeah,
you
right.
I mean, no disrespect to Kidman. Right, she was older. She was a little older. You know, she wasn't, you know, the 20-something starlet. You know,
right,
I mean,
yeah.
She
yeah.
was like in, you know, mid-30s, you know, 40s.
Type. I'm not going to say she was past yeah. her prime because that's a career ender.
Yeah, a couple of miles.
Correct, right?
Yeah,
right. I mean, and
I watched that whole CNN thing.
So right. Exactly. You, completely, man.
Right.
So we just noticed that LK was chatting her up, and she was chatting him up. And the next thing we knew, about 3 weeks later, he had given her a ring. So, of course, you know, we called. What's going on, brother? What's happening?
3 weeks.
Yeah.
It wasn't that much longer. Maybe a month or so.
Okay, that's still...
It was quick.
It was a blink of an eye.
It was a blink of an eye.
Wow. You saw him on the couch with Nicole at your house, and then there's a giant
tea.
Ring.
I brought them tea, and the next thing I knew, they were in love.
Whoa.
And then the next thing
tea?
I knew.
That's some pretty good tea.
What, wasn't that some good tea? Yeah.
He was with testosterone.
I don't know what it was, but it must have worked out because the Australian fell for the rock guy immediately. And and then that fell apart. But I got to give him credit. He never spoke out of school. He never talked bad about her at anything. He just said she kept a ring. That was it.
Wow.
And
do we know how much
apart.
That was worth?
It was a consolation
half a million,
prize.
I think that's what the paper said.
Half a million.
Lost half a million.
Ooh.
Over some tea.
Yeah.
I tease him about it.
And he still talks to you.
Oh, yeah. And I tease him about it.
Well, it wasn't your fault.
I see him.
How does she end up on your couch again?
We were all at a restaurant.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It
and all chit chatting.
And it was like, where are we
going to
go? You know, it's getting late. We're still chit chatting and hanging out.
Right. We got to go somewhere. Let's go to my place.
Yeah, let's go to my place.
Put some clothes.
So, yeah. One of those. Right. Yeah. Lovely lady. Sweetheart of a lady.
Yeah, seems like it.
Yeah. Really. Truly.
We're going to play a game here. Orlando Jones is in studio. You name a celebrity, and we'll see if he has some kind of a connection or story. Matt, Long Island.
What was it like working a few years ago with Jean-Claude Van Damme? What was that movie? Was it called Enemies Closer?
Enemies Closer. Wow.
Wow.
I have to ask you about that, because I love that movie. I watched it a few times. I want to hear what you got to say about that whole situation.
Dude, I was in Bulgaria starring in the movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I'm producing the movie. You know, Jean-Claude's an interesting cat. Yeah, let's just say he likes his extracurriculars.
Women or drugs? Or?
Both.
Okay,
both, 100%.
Right. So lots of distractions. We're going, all right, come on, back over here.
Focus.
He just kind of keeps them all close by. They're always right there.
Okay, so not getting in the way of work, but,
right, but
when he's got a break, they're right there.
Keeps him right there, close by. He don't have to walk too far.
Exactly, right.
And he's, look at athletic sports, you know, he is gifted.
Yes.
Right? He's doing those stunts. Yeah. There's no stunt double.
Yeah.
He's not interested in that.
In all the movies?
Even the one I did with him, no stunt double.
Wow.
No stunt double.
Did you spar with him?
Oh, yeah, I got hit by him a couple times. Absolutely.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, they call it sparring, but what they really mean is he's going to smack the black off me, and they're going to go, you okay?
You all right?
That's a resume line, though, right? Hit by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I put everything.
He was cool, but, you know, he was high as a kite the whole movie, and he was playing like this kind of crazy dude. So my only fear was that when we got into the action stuff, that he would be off by a couple of inches, and so I was going to get my
ass then you
kicked.
Wake up in a hospital.
Exactly.
Because I heard a story like years ago, right? Did he hit someone by accident?
Yeah.
A big rumor, someone is a stuntman, and he clipped him on one of his big flying kicks or something, I heard.
Yeah, exactly, because you don't have to be off by much. And, you know, when you're in those rooms, it's just... So that was really what my fear was, and it came true. He got me good. But
that's one for the ages, man. But that's a great movie. Nonetheless, I enjoy that movie. I think everybody should see it. That's like you on, you know, the non-comedy side, you know.
Definitely.
But I thought you were great, man.
Oh, thank you, man.
Hey, Matt, thanks for calling, brother.
You're great, man. You're great. You're a plus. You're one of the lighter sides of, the better sides of Hollywood, the positive sides, I would say.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Yeah. Thank you, brother.
Andre in Derby.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Orlando. How you doing, brother?
Good, brother. How are you, man?
I'm going to go old school with you.
Okay.
Red Fox.
Oh, wow.
Red Fox. That's a good one.
I got a great Red Fox story, actually.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, nice.
So everybody knew him as the lovable curmudgeon on Sanford and Son.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So during the same time, he had this act in Vegas, particularly towards the end of the show. And everybody came to see him thinking he was going to be the lovable guy from television. Okay. I'm sure you know Red Fox is one of the dirtiest comedians in comedy history.
But I was surprised by that, too, because I saw him on TV.
Right.
I thought, oh, Fred Sanford.
Right.
Oh, he's just a cranky old man.
Just old fancy.
And then,
wow.
You hear that comedy album.
Wow. Yep.
So he's playing Vegas. We go to see him. And it's a room full of people over 65, 70 who are expecting what you were expecting.
Right, right.
So they play him on to his theme. You know, and he's got a cup, a mug, and it's a breast.
Yep.
So it's like a boob with a nipple, and then you just drink right out of the nipple.
Drink right out of the nipple.
Right.
So he walks on stage with the nipple, and this particular night, you know, he starts out his show, and he goes, I'll try and keep this as clean as I can.
Okay.
All right, I'll get ready with the dump.
You ever go out, see a woman, she come over, and you wanted to lick your... your butt hole. And I'm not talking about your butt. I'm talking about your butt hole. I'm talking about when she in there. She like a roto-rooter around in there. And the audience, the audience is stunned. They're stunned.
Like, what the hell?
What is going on? Like truly, people are walking out the whole thing. So
joke one. That's amazing.
He starts there.
Right.
All right. So we watch the whole thing. The next day, we go, there's seven people in the audience.
Oops.
They play him on. He comes out with a nipple. He takes a sip. He looks at the audience. He goes, seven MFing people? No MFing way. Walks off the stage.
That's it.
That's great.
That's my Red Fox story. I was like, comedy legend. He was seven people not having it.
Yeah, well.
30 is the day as long.
Thank you, Andre. All right, calling a celebrity, 203-882-9757. We'll see if we can make a link here. Quentin Tarantino's in the news today. Have you ever met him, come across him, work with him?
So it's a guy named Greg Nicotero. He's a special effects guy, Walking Dead and all that stuff. He's the guy that creates the zombies or, you know, whatever you're becoming, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
The
fat
suit for Austin Powers, all that kind of stuff.
So go-to guy.
Go-to guy. Right. Yeah. Won Oscars the whole nine. Nicotero's like a brother, you know, that's my dude. So me, Nicotero, John Carpenter, Quentin Tarantino.
The John Carpenter,
Quentin Tarantino, a guy named PJ Pesh, another director. We're all buddies Nicoteros, and so we're in the back of a white limousine on...
You're in a limo with Quentin Tarantino.
Bachelor party.
Nice.
Oh. For Greg Nicotero.
Wow. A lot can happen there.
So we're riding around, and I'm stuck, and we've been drinking all night, right? So I'm cornered with Tarantino, and Tarantino is describing to me how to be black. He got all the details.
This is interesting.
He's telling me black history. Right. And all sorts of stuff, a lot of which I knew, but Tarantino was passionate about this.
Right.
So he's telling me about his time in jail and when he was working on Pulp Fiction and blah, blah, blah. But most of it is like I was talking to this old black dude, but I keep looking up and it's Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
Wow. He's that good. You know, if you think about a guy who could write for all these different characters and be consistent with that, he could do this.
Right. He could do this.
This is easy.
So we're going to pull it off him.
So I'm just listening to him after it. So after we finished, he must have been talking to me for like two and a half hours. I'm really too drunk to respond. But Greg Nicotero reminds me of this every time he sees me. He said, do you remember what you said, Quentin Tarantino, on my bachelor party? And I'm like, no. He said, you turned to him and you were like, you the blackest white dude I ever know.
I bet she said, thank you.
the smile on his face.
It's like, that's the greatest compliment you could have given him.
I'm not sure I meant that as a compliment, fam.
Okay.
But he took it as one, all good.
We fist bumped, and I moved on, and that was that. But that was my time with Tarantino.
Wow.
He's in the news today for
what?
Allegedly, this is something that's just coming out now, but allegedly back in the day, he forked over $10,000 to lick a supermodel's feet. Strip club manager claims Quentin Tarantino once paid $10,000 to lick a lady's feet till they looked like prunes.
Wow.
Huh.
Wow.
Interesting.
He has a known foot fetish.
Right. Oh. Apparently, he totally exfoliated her, too. There's something in your teeth. Hang on a second.
That's That's a hefty price, ain't it?
That's a lot of money to lick someone's feet.
You can do it for free.
I don't have a foot fetish, so I don't understand at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't want someone's...
$10,000
Feet don't go in the mouth.
He's Quentin Tarantino. He could probably say, I'm Quentin Tarantino. Hmm. You know, pull your shoes off.
Well, he used to write that into his own movies. My favorite part. He's got Selma Hayek in his movie pouring tequila down her leg,
and
he's sucking it off her toe.
Right.
That's true.
It's good to be Quentin.
And to be fair, if there was some feet you were going to suck, Selma Hayek has got a wonderful pair.
No kidding.
Right.
What an incredible foot.
Probably all their feet had to go through, like, auditions.
Right. Yeah, all right, wiggle your toes. Slowly.
Turn towards me, okay, now.
All right, big toe, up and down.
Okay. You know that was the casting call before Selma got cast.
Yeah.
There probably 3,000 girls came through there with their shoes off.
Right.
Show up with no shoes.
Exactly.
Mr. Tarantino's going to do the scene with you today.
Yeah. Put your feet up on the desk, facing me, okay.
Now, is he a pedicure man or a no pedicure man?
I would think pedicure, right?
Gel nails or gloss?
There's a lot to go on. Yeah,
that's a great question.
I think it's just feet because I noticed this because I'm like you. I think I'm a little like I don't need it. Like I'm not interested, but I'm also like I don't want it near me a little bit. You know,
right.
In Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, there's an extended scene in the car where the person has very dirty feet, and they spend a lot of time focusing on the feet. Like the feet are kind of center frame, like this whole conversation in the car.
This is naughty mode.
Uma Thurman has gnarly toes.
Yeah.
Like bony. And they had her feet like in...
Kill Bill and whatnot?
Wiggle your big toe.
And she was also in Pulp Fiction, right? She was a girl dancing with Jack Rabbit Slims.
Barefoot, yeah.
Right.
Unfortunately, Naomi Campbell's got the ugliest feet in the planet.
Right.
No, I'm serious.
Oh, really?
From being a runway model.
Not ugliest on the planet. You haven't seen Steven Tyler's feet.
No, I have not seen Steven Tyler's
feet. Oh, well.
Oh, my God.
We're going to reveal them to you. Don't Google. We're going to do this on the air in the next break.
Okay.
I just want to take Greg's call, then we'll go to break, and then we'll address Greg's call, and then we'll expose Steven Tyler's feet to Orlando Jones.
Yeah, seatbelt painting.
This is all coming up on the show. And we were just talking about feet, and he said Naomi Campbell has the worst feet on the planet.
Yes.
I mean, I feel bad for sis, but her feet is fugly. Like, it's a serious situation.
We just looked it up, and you're... Right, that they're very bad.
Yes. They're bad.
However, we're going to see you. You're Naomi Campbell, and we're going to raise you with a Steven Tyler.
Okay.
And we're going to make a video clip of this reaction.
Let's see this.
Here's Orlando Jones seeing Steven Tyler's feet for the first time.
Oh! Those is tingers. Whoa!
This is why he screams all the time.
Do shoes boycott? Like, that's for real. Wow.
Right?
You know what? On behalf of Naomi Campbell, you are correct. That is a whole new...
Doesn't look like when he runs, you hear...
After, like, snapping. Exactly. Like, if he had on flip-flops and corduroys with them feet. Boom, boom, snap, 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 snap.
You got to hear him on
flop, the snap, the snap, snap.
You got to hear him on, like, linoleum floor.
Maybe that's where the beat Walk This Way came from.
Right, exactly.
He can't walk this way.
That was the shoes leaving.
Walk this way.
Right. No one could walk that way.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I have a junk drawer of jumbled pens that looks more in order than his toes.
Yeah. Right? See, now, his daughter is beautiful.
So yes. And she has normal feet, too.
Does she? I was going to ask.
See? That's what I was thinking.
She does.
Right.
She does. So, I mean, one of the videos. Her and Alicia Silverstone.
Is there a foot shot in Lord of the Rings? That's what I need to know. Have we seen elven feet? Because the elvens are beautiful, but based on seeing these feet, I don't know.
Well, they put hair on them if they're a hobbit. Yeah, they put hair on them if they're a hobbit. But, you know, I don't think she shaves.
Yeah.
I think they added that. But, yeah, her dad, forget about it.
Wow.
Yep.
Forget about it. First of all, they're like fingers. Precious.
Yeah, they're like weasels.
Like
you can picture him like reaching for olives in the jar.
Exactly.
Hang on a second. Ah! Where did I go?
Look, we over here foot shaming Steven Tyler, bro.
No, it's more just I can't believe that's the state of his foot. Right. Like, it's hard to imagine he's gotten that far.
Steven Tyler money. Can't you go to the doctor and get that cleaned up?
Yeah, fix it.
Yeah, we've talked about this. So on my right foot, I have one toe's kind of like going his own direction.
Okay.
They're all going in one direction. He's like, yeah.
That's the alpha toe, the rebel. Yes.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not with you guys.
He's independent. That's all.
Right.
Independent. And I went to a foot doctor, and he said, do you have any pain when you walk? I said, no. He goes, then leave it.
Right.
Understood.
Plus, you can hold a cigarette with it.
Which, as we all know, is the most important thing to do with feet. They call it.
That's right. It's a bigger toe, have a cigar.
If it's called flexible when you eat with your hands, what do they call it if you eat with your feet? What's the name for that?
Chopsticks. Oh, Tipperillo. Nice.
Can you imagine the first time he showed up at band practice?
Right.
With flip-flops?
With flip-flops.
Right.
It's like hard not to look down and acknowledge it.
I could not play.
This explains that name on, like that look that Joe Perry has on his face all the time, like that pained look.
It's like, ooh.
Plus, I keep thinking about it.
He got the nerve to have his toes painted. So
painted.
Somebody.
Yeah, painted. There's some sort of attention going right. there. Yes.
Look, that's a pedicure foot right there.
In case you didn't miss it, look.
Or is he trying to make it look as pretty as possible?
But no, them Korean ladies insisted. They're like, if you're going to come in here with this mess.
Right. And they're all blue. It looks like a big fight of Smurfs. Smurfs having a smackdown.
No, we paint.
Right.
You not leave. Sit.
What you bring here?
Too ugly. On behalf of all the Korean ladies, y'all are doing God's work.
Seriously. Four things.
Wow. Orlando, thank you so much for coming in.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Dude,
thank
you. You're welcome.
You
guys are amazing.
You got to come back again.
I will definitely come back. This
awesome. Please come back.
Thank you, guys.
And then anytime you want to call in to promote something, please.
If you're bored,
I'll your call bitches. In just to chit-chat. You guys are awesome.
If you're bored,
super fun.
Yeah, exactly. Cool.
I can horrify you with other feet.
Hey, Chaz, AJ, you guys are amazing.
No,
man.
Thank you, man. Right back at you. Orlando Jones, New York Comedy Club in Stamford
Go.
Tomorrow and all weekend.